going to have to get a bit of a remembrance. But I believe that this is God's message for this meeting tonight. And I trust that the Lord will challenge us to win the lost at any cost and to break out of our comfort zone. Matthew chapter 14 and the verse number 22. And the Word of God reads, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up apart into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, Is it a spirit? And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Shall we keep our Bibles open, and let's just bow for a word of prayer, please. Amen and amen. The disciples had labored against all odds to get to their destination. The Word of God reminds us in the verse number 25 that they're now into the fourth watch of the night. And that is between the hours of 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. The journey should not have taken them that long. With four experienced fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they should have now reached their desired harbor in Gennesaret. Yet, my dear friend, the Lord directed his disciples into an unexpected storm. My dear friend, the disciples did not ask to be taken into such a storm. They had not prepared to be taken into such a storm. And they didn't even want to be in the storm that they were in at that moment of time. But God had directed them into a storm in their lives to develop faith within their Christian experience. Maybe God at this moment of time finds you in a storm. You haven't asked for it. You haven't prepared for it. And to tell you the truth, you don't even want to be in the middle of it. But God knows what you need to develop true faith and Christian character within your life. Jesus Christ, although he remained at a distance for quite some time, Jesus Christ always was going to break through. There are certain truths that I want you to see, first of all, before we enter into the meat of the message. The first thing that I want you to realize is that although Jesus remained at a distance from his disciples through the first and the second and through the third and now they're into the fourth watch of the night, although the Savior remained at a distance, he was always praying for them. He was always praying for them. Look what it says in the verse number 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Jesus Christ was praying for his disciples in the midst of the storm. Now, someone has once said, you may not always be able to trace God, but you can always trust him. And whenever God takes you into the storms of life, my dear friend, you may not know and you may not be able to sense God's presence near you, but I want to say that he's always praying for you. Because he ever liveth to make intercession for his people. That's the first thing I want you to realize. God is always praying for you. The second thing that I want you to realize is that Jesus sent them into the storm. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knows all things, who knew how that day would end for the disciples, he knew that they were going to be put into a storm. Jesus sent them into the storm, and he sent them into the storm for this reason. There are lessons that you cannot learn in life at the side of the seashore. The lessons that God is going to teach these men can only be taught in the storm that God's going to take them through. They could have not learned it on land. And that's why Jesus Christ sent them into the storm. They're going to learn a few things about themselves. They're going to learn that other men are useless in the storms of life. You know, my dear friend, whenever everything's going well in our Christian life and our Christian experience, we often very much lean upon our pastor or upon our youth leader or upon our Christian friends. But whenever God puts you into a personal storm, you soon realize how useless other men are. Not one man could have stilled the storm in their life, only Jesus. The second thing that they were going to learn was how useless they were. You know, my dear friend, Peter couldn't still the storm, and John couldn't still the storm, because, my dear friend, whenever you go through a storm in your life, you'll realize how inadequate you are to meet the need. But they were going to learn another thing. How sufficient Jesus is. How sufficient the Master is to still the storms in life. And do you know what they're going to learn? They're going to say at the end of this storm, what manner of man is this? You see, it's not until you go through a storm in your life, personally, that you'll be able to say what manner of man this is. You'll not be able to prove God and prove His grace in your life. Well, the Savior spoke to the disciples outside the boat. He said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Because the Savior had a word in season, because He knew that they were afraid, and so He says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Well, Peter, in typical like fashion, impetuous as ever, he asked the Lord that if it really was Him, to allow him to come and to walk upon the sea. And so the Savior gave the invitation. If you look at the verse number 29, and the Lord said, "Come." He goes on to say in that passage, "And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus." Now I want to stop there at this moment of time, because this is where we're going to deal in our message this evening. Very, 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 very quickly. I want us to stop and just to pull aside, because I want you to speak upon a truth that we find at the end of the verse number 29, and it is this truth. Out of 12 men, only Peter got out of the boat. Out of 12 men, only Peter got out of the boat. It is upon the subject tonight that I want to speak on. It's time to get out of the boat. You see, the boat represents to us our comfort zone. It's the parameters that we set down as God's children. We'll do so much for God, but we'll go no further for God. We'll come to the Sunday morning meeting and we'll come to the Sunday evening meeting, but we'll not come to the prayer meeting. It's the environment that we all know, and it's the environment that we have become comfortable with. But what I want to encourage us as young people who love and know the Lord, I want to encourage you to get out of your comfort zone and to go for God. I believe in the Church of Jesus Christ there is an imaginary line that has been drawn, and it runs through every congregation. In front of the line there are those that invest their lives, their talents, their energy, their effort, their money into the work of Jesus Christ. And to tell you the truth, sometimes you think they're on drugs because they just keep going and going and going. But unfortunately, the majority of the church is behind that line. And behind that line, they just sit and are content just to drift along to heaven. They're content just to go on and just to be, "Well, I'm saved, but I'll not do anything for Jesus Christ." My dear friend, I believe that something needs to move us to step over that line and to go for the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I believe that caused Peter to get out of the boat was he was in pursuit of the Savior's presence. He was in pursuit of the Savior's presence. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Peter that night, the Savior was outside the boat. And so Peter, realizing that he wanted to get into the Savior's presence, he realized that he had to throw his leg overboard. Peter had to leave groups of people behind. He had to leave his family behind in order for him to get into the Savior's presence. For Andrew, his brother, was inside the boat. He had to leave his friends behind, John and Bartholomew and all the disciples. I'm sure they were good friends with Peter, but he had to leave them behind in order to get into the Savior's presence. And now, if you're unsaved in this meeting, my dear friend, and you not know not Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll have to leave certain people behind if you want to come to Christ. You might have to leave your friends behind, maybe even your family members behind, if you want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter got out of the boat because he wanted to get into the Savior's presence. The Word of God reminds us in the book of Psalm, in Psalm 16, in the verse number 11, that in His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And the reason why, my dear friend, most Christians are miserable and they have no joy or happiness or excitement or verve or zeal for God is because they are never in the presence of the Lord. Now, you'll not find God's presence at the cinema, and you'll not find God's presence on the internet or watching the television, or you'll not find it listening to Radio 1 or Cool FM. You'll not find God's presence there. But you'll find God's presence in the secret place, alone with God. You'll find it at the prayer meeting. You'll find God's presence there. I wonder, do we want God's presence? Second thing that motivates him to get out of the boat. Outside the boat is sometimes safer than being inside the boat. Sometimes outside the boat with Jesus is being safer than being inside the boat without Him. You see, everywhere with Jesus becomes a safe haven. Everywhere. The Word of God says in Isaiah, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress. He is our refuge from the storm." Now, I don't have time to explain to you through the Word of God different men who experienced that it was better for them to be with Jesus despite the circumstances that they find themselves in than to be without the Lord. I bring to your mind Joseph. And Joseph realized that it was better for him to be in the prison with the Lord than for him to be back at the Father's house. What about Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel realized that it was safer for him to be in the lion's den that night than him to be lying on a bed within the palace, because God came and He shut the mouths of the lions. What about the three Hebrew boys? They walked around the fire and they realized that it was better for them to be in the fire than to be outside the fire without Jesus. Do you remember Jonah? Jonah realized that it was safer for him to be thrown overboard than for him to stay on the ship, because the ship was going down. For sometimes it's safer outside the boat with Jesus and outside your comfort zone as a believer than it is to stay inside your comfort zone and do absolutely nothing for Jesus Christ. The third reason why he got out of the boat was because you get further with God outside the boat than you do whenever you're inside the boat. For three watches the disciples have went nowhere. And in the fourth watch they're still going nowhere. But my dear friend, the moment that he stepped out of the boat, my dear friend, was the moment that Peter started to go somewhere for God. And whenever you get out of your comfort zone and what you know, and the people that you associate, and the people that you try to win for God, and you try and go into a new area, and you try to witness to a new person, my dear friends, you'll start to go somewhere for God. But it's not until we leave our comfort zone. Why did the others stay inside the boat? There are a few reasons why they stayed inside the boat. You see, the invitation was given to them all. If you look at the invitation in the verse number 29, and it said, "And Jesus said, come." And I want you to notice that the Savior did not say, "Come, Peter." Didn't say, "Come, Peter." No, the invitation was open to everybody. And the invitation for us as believers and for us who know the Lord, the invitation, my dear friend, is open to everybody in this meeting. But only a few people will ever hear it. The gospel invitation is given in the word "come." We read of it in Isaiah chapter 1 in the verse number 18. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And the invitation, unsaved person, in this meeting is for you to come now. Come tonight. For who knoweth what is on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The Word of God exhorts you to seek the Lord while He may be found, and to call upon Him while He is near, because there's coming a day that then shall they call, but I will not answer them. They shall seek me, and they shall not find me. And that's why you need to come to Jesus Christ tonight. Because you can miss your opportunity. And you can miss your season. Why did they stay inside the boat? First reason, they were afraid. They were afraid. What were they afraid of? Well, my dear friend, they were afraid of the unknown. You see, no one had ever done this walking on water before. This was a new experience. This was a new environment that someone had went on before. And so these men were quite comfortable enough to sit in what they knew. And so oftentimes in the Church of Jesus Christ, we get content with what we have. We're content with the souls that we have reached. And it seems to be that it's invaded the church that, well, we'll just hold our own. Hold our own. But my dear friend, I want to encourage you to get a vision of God and get a vision of this land and see that God can come again and move by His Spirit and move into areas that we never thought God could ever move into. We must not have closed vision, fear of the unknown. And that keeps many a Christian inside the boat. Well, if I went and if I helped out in the children, let's take for example, if I helped out in the children's mission in Coleraine this week, what if some child said something to me and I didn't know how to answer them? Well, I'll just not bother going out then. I'll just sit in the house and I'll just watch Neighbours and Home and Away and Carnation Street and EastEnders. And I'll let the children go to hell. Fear of the unknown. An unsaved person in this meeting, if you're not saved, this is one of the reasons why you're not saved, because you're afraid of the unknown. You're thinking within your mind, well, if I became a Christian, you know, what would be expected of me now? What would my family say? If I went home tonight and I said, Mama, I've come to Jesus Christ, what would my mum say? Or if I went into work tomorrow and said, you know, I was at a meeting last night and God spoke to my soul and the Spirit of God strived with my soul and I came to Jesus Christ, what would my friends say? You might say, but what if I fail? What if I can't keep it? And that keeps people inside the boat. Fear of the unknown. Fear of being criticized. You know, I'm sure whenever Peter started to sink that night, I can hear Thomas inside the boat. And Thomas was always doubting. And I'm sure Thomas said to Peter before he got out of the boat, I'm sure he said, you know, Peter, if you get out of that boat, you're going to sink. And can you not hear Thomas from inside the boat whenever he starts to see Peter go down? I told him that would happen to him. And you can hear the criticism coming, so you can. And that keeps many a Christian inside the boat, you know. There's a thing that should trouble us as God's people. Now, I'm not afraid of dying, and I'm not afraid of meeting God concerning my sin and concerning my salvation. That has been settled, sealed, and God has saved me eternally. And no man will ever put me out of the Father's hand, but there is a thing that fears me, and it is the day that I'm going to stand before God at the Bema judgment seat of Christ and give an account of what I've done with my life. Now, I'm 27 years of age. I know I'm not that old looking, and I've only started shaving. Well, I'm only joking. But I'm not that old looking. But you know, my dear friends, what if I die tonight? What if you die tonight? You see, my dear friend, those 27 years, I can never relive them again. You know, if I had had an interview with a lady, she, about 33 years of age, I believe she was, as she came out of a Paris hotel one night, and if I had spoke to that lady and said, do you know, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to die? I wonder what she would have said. She probably would have thought, plenty of years. Plenty of years. I'll think about that whenever I come to my deathbed. But if I transported you half an hour from that interview and took you to a tunnel in Paris, and you saw a lady by the name of Princess Diana, my dear friend, she didn't have very long to live. And that's how quick life can go. And that's how quick eternity can come upon us. And there is a day that I will stand and you will stand before God and you will give an account of what you have done with your life. Now, what have you done for Jesus Christ? What have I done for Jesus Christ? Well, my dear friend, this should fear us. Fear of being different. Fear of being different. Now, the reason what kept them inside the boat was because of comfort and security. You know, my dear friend, whenever you're in the boat, it's nice to be in the boat. But you see, whenever you get out of the boat, everything becomes different and you leave your comfort zone and you leave your security. And you know what? You're walking the walk of faith. Comfort and security. Another reason what kept them inside the boat was because of pure unbelief. I want to quickly bring to the message to a close. I trust that you'll bear with us. What did Peter learn outside the boat? I believe that Peter was going to learn some valuable lessons. And I believe that whenever God takes us into the storms of life, I believe that God knows what we need. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And I believe that Peter was going to learn valuable lessons. And the first lesson that Peter was going to learn was that failure isn't final. Failure isn't final. Peter failed the Lord. There's no covering up of it. He took his eyes off the Lord. He failed the Lord and he began to sink. But I believe that the moment that Jesus Christ reached out his hand, I believe that something passed between the heart of Christ and the heart of Peter that night, and it was this. Peter, you have failed me, but I have still something for you to do. Because failure's never final with the Lord. Maybe you're in this meeting and you're a backslider and you've went away from the Lord. And you think within your mind, you know, could God ever restore me again? Could God ever use me again? Well, I believe that Peter is the greatest lesson to realize that failure is never final. You know, a just man, the Word of God says in Proverbs 24:16, a just man falleth seven times and riseth again. Do you know when failure is failure? Whenever you don't get up again. Whenever you don't get up again. I don't know if you know anything about Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison was the inventor of the light bulb. Thomas Edison had spent years, weeks, months, and hours on producing the first prototype of his light bulb. Whenever he had finished it, he was to take it to a board of men to show them his design. But Mr. Edison decided to give it to one of his young men that worked with him as he invented the light bulb. And so the young man had to climb some stairs in order for him to get into the boardroom. As that young man climbed up the stairs, the young man dropped the light bulb. And it smashed in 1,000 pieces. He returned to Mr. Edison, who said nothing, but went back to the drawing board and produced another light bulb. And whenever it was to be taken once again to the boards, he called the same young man to carry the light bulb to the men. The young man picked the light bulb, took it to the board, and today we now see the results of a man who gave another man a second chance. You see, God's the God of the second chance. Failure's never final. You know, my dear friend, the second lesson was that not everybody wants to pay the price. I'm sure the disciples, they all said, this is a great idea. Let's all get out of the boat. This is a brilliant idea. But you know, whenever the rubber hits the road, only one man gets out of the boat. You know, we can say, you know, well, I'm going to go and evangelize. And I'm going to become a soul winner. and I'm going to go to the prayer meeting. But my dear friend, whenever the rubber hits the road, it's only ever one man. And it's only ever one young woman that ever goes for God. I don't know if you know the story of the Moravians. The Moravians were a missionary organization of Europe. There was a man who had a plantation on an island, and he said that if any missionaries or any Christian ever came to the island, that he would kill them dead. But the Moravians heard about that, and they had a burden for the slaves that worked upon his plantation. But they realized that if someone just went onto the island, that the man and the chief would slay them. Two young Moravian missionaries heard that, and they sold themselves to the man of the plantation. And they put themselves under his subjection because they realized that them people needed the Lord. As their ship moved away from the harbor, and as the Moravians and the family and all gathered to see these young men stand upon the ship, they called out to them, "What is the reason why you're leaving and why you have sold yourself into slavery?" The call came back, "May the lamb that was slain receive the rewards of his suffering." And that became the Moravian motto text. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. They were willing to pay the price. You know, I'm sure many a young man, whenever they sat in that university down on the left-hand side, and whenever they heard Robert Moffat talk about a land in the north of Africa, the smoke of 1,000 villages who had never once heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm sure there were young men stirred. But you know, only one young man, David Livingstone, whenever he heard the call, "God just needs one young man," David Livingstone said, "I'm the man. I'm the man." You see, only one man ever gets out of the boat, and only one woman ever gets out of the boat. The third reason, and the third lesson that he learned, you'll only make it when you keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, my dear friend, you take your eyes off the Lord, and you're sunk. You're sunk. And whenever we as believers, I don't care whether you're 20, whether you're 14 years of age, whether you're 60 years of age, my dear friend, it's not how we start. It's how we end. It's how we end. You'll only make it when you keep your eyes on Jesus. Maybe things have taken your eyes off the Lord. Maybe money, career, maybe a relationship. But you're going to be sunk if you don't get your eyes back on Jesus. Lesson number four, it's amazing what you can do what you never thought you could do. It's amazing what you can do what you never thought you could do. Some people know our testimony. But whenever I was a child, I was taken out of primary school and I was always taken to speech therapy because I couldn't speak properly. But my dear friend, isn't it the mercy and grace of God that finds us preaching the Word of God? Because God doesn't use talent. God uses availability. And God uses something that is yielded into His hands. And God uses the weak things to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh would ever glory in His presence. If you had asked Peter the day before, "Do you ever think you could walk on water?" He would have said, "Catch yourself on. That's humanly impossible." But whenever Jesus is near, everything becomes possible. The last lesson that he learned, and time I know has went, but this is the most valuable lesson for those in this meeting that know not Jesus Christ. It was this lesson. Jesus is an all-sufficient Savior. You know, Peter didn't say, "Thomas, throw out a lifeline to me." He didn't call for James or John to rescue him. No, he called for the only one that could save him. And that was Jesus Christ. What did he say? He said, "Lord, save me." Maybe you're in this meeting and you don't know how to pray and how to ask Jesus into your heart, do you know what? Short prayers are long enough. Lord, save me. Remember me. What did the dying thief say? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And God answered the prayer. Jesus is an able Savior. Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ did not come to live a good example, although he did do that. But Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. I trust, sinner friend, in this meeting you're not saved, that you'll step out of your boat. Because your boat's going to sink. And I trust that we as God's people will step out of our ease and step out of our comfort zone, and we'll actually do something for God, and we'll actually do something with this message. Regardless of the cost, regardless of the criticism, regardless of being different, regardless of being rejected by others, regardless of it all, that we'll actually do something for God. And that our lives would count, not only in time, but they would actually count in God's eternity. Who knoweth whether God has called us to the kingdom for such a time as this? May we have the heart of Esther, who said, "And if I perish, I perish. But at least I perished having done something for Jesus Christ." Shall we unite in prayer? Let's